Oh, this is podcast number two of Therapy Rabbits. Not yet. TherapyRabbit.com is not available yet. What are we going to do? I'm still looking for contributors to TherapyRabbit.com website. If anybody out there is interested in helping me put up a totally, totally awesome TherapyRabbit.com website, do contact me. That is Felicia at aristocratswi.com, because I raise Polish rabbits, the little aristocrats. So joining me again for the number two podcast for Therapy Rabbits is Brooke Lee from Eureka Process. She was on the inaugural edition, and she's now into day 36 of having her very first rabbit. And this is mostly going to be a time of being regaled by Brooke's stories of her first 36 days of rabbit adventures. So why don't you give us a high level, just recap, just a high level recap, and then we'll dig into some fun stories.
All right. So it is day 36. Hold on one second. I want to give you an accurate mileage count here. So I came up to Racine to pick up this rabbit, Arno. It is a 17-hour trip, and it is 1,100 miles one way. So we made the haul. I made the haul over our Christmas break that we have here at Eureka Process to drive from Savannah, Georgia to Racine, Wisconsin to get a therapy rabbit. So if that tells you anything about what type of rabbit you're going to get and what I was willing to do to go get one of these rabbits, that's it. By myself, 17 hours, 1,100 miles one way, through ice and snow, no less. It kept getting better.
Some pretty horrible rain, too.
It was rain. It was sleet. No offense to anybody that's listening from the state of Indiana, but I will literally avoid your state like the plague the next time I have to go through it, because the driving conditions were awful and you're not prepared as I thought you should be for this type of weather. So I will just like go around and add another 6 hours if I have to.
Well, in Indiana's defense, I don't think that the route through Illinois is going to be much better.
We'll have to figure out something. So high level, I made a trip over the Christmas break to drive to Racine to partake in all of the rabbitry wonderness that there is in Racine at the Aristocrats Rabbitry. I was able to have contact with rabbits just when, I mean, they're everywhere. Plenty of rabbits. So there's somebody for everybody. And got some training. And then lo and behold, Arno, who is the rabbit that I brought back, he and I made the long trek home by ourselves. And we made it home. We had to stop, it took us about a day and a half. And we made it back to the house. We did indeed take the engineered condo solution that Felicia is able to provide if you would like. So that was incredibly helpful for me because I did not have to figure out anything. I had a travel cage. I had the condo cage. I had all of the supplies that I needed. So for someone who has never owned a rabbit before, being able to come home and just basically pick him up, put him down in his space, and everything was there ready to go. And even me with my novice self was able to figure it out relatively easily. And he might say differently, but no worse for wear. Nobody's starved. No one's died. Everybody's good to go. I feel like we're pretty successful on day 36.
I think you're past successful. So if I recall some things you told me before, it took him about a couple weeks to kind of get used to his kind of new overall environment and new people. At the same time, you also indicated that he had never had any interruption with eating, with peeing, with pooping. He had his appetite, you know, he didn't exhibit any things about being stressed or anything like that. It was really just a matter of comfort.
Yeah, I mean, because he was very, Arno is a very gregarious, outgoing rabbit. He loves, his nickname is the Entertainer, and he fully lives up to that nickname. And those were the videos and, you know, the Zooms that I had done with Felicia. And so I knew what his personality was like. So when he got here, again, he ate just fine. We didn't have any problems with him using the poo box. I mean, nothing. It was just, you could tell he was just kind of like, I am no longer with my brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, parents. It's different. Everything's different. It smells different. The temperature is different. Everything is different. And it definitely took him a while to kind of open up to back to his regular entertainer personality. So I'd probably say it took, I don't know, maybe 3-4 weeks. And I still think he's still opening up, getting used to things. But I am a very routine oriented person by nature. So I think that has helped. He knows kind of what the schedule is every single day. And now he's got other things that are in his schedule. I have a middle daughter who is probably more in love with this rabbit at this point than I am. She is 21 and she will regularly come get him, pick him up out of the condo. She doesn't do it the correct way. Arno doesn't even care. He's just like, great, I'm leaving with her. She puts him in the travel cage. They put the lid down. She puts him in the car and they go off for a jaunt. So he's definitely living his best life.
Yeah. And she's certainly having the experience that I have, which is, hey, rabbits go with everything.
Yes. I mean, she's like, oh, I'm going to go to the drive-thru. So let's go. Arno, satellite. She does not like to put him in the back seat. If somebody else is coming with her, they have to ride in the back because Arno gets the front seat. Yes, that's where we're at. So it was helpful having all of, I will have to say, having all of the supplies was incredibly helpful because that reduced the stress level for me. Because as somebody that's never owned a rabbit before, my biggest fear was messing something up, hurting the rabbit, not doing the right thing, not having the right stuff. So the fact that you were able to give me a packet, you know, all this printout of, you know, the type of food, how much to feed, you know, what to do, how to fix this, how to do that, what to look out for. And then having the condo that has the special water bottles and all that kind of stuff. Also, I think that really helped me, but it also helped him because it was things that he was already familiar with. I wasn't having him drink water out of something he had not drank water out of before. The food bins were the same ones that he had eaten out of. So I think it was a level of comfort for him, but also for me, because all of this stuff was already there and I didn't have to figure it out. I just had to figure out how to make sure that he's going to, you know, get acclimated and make sure he gets enough pets. I mean, you know, that's the worst thing I had to do, is he getting enough pets. None of the other logistical stuff had to be figured out. So I think that was very comforting for him and I both.
Cracking me up with that. So on the temperature side, you know, he went from frozen wintry north of Wisconsin,
yes,
down there to Savannah, Georgia. So what has happened to his coat in the meantime?
He has not shed. Now, I will tell you, like right now, I bought a fan. There's a fan that sits down there and blows on him because I don't want him to get too whatever. He's extremely spoiled. I'm not even going to lie about it at this point. So there's just, I mean, just, you can save your, oh my gosh, this lady, whatever. I don't care. The rabbit is spoiled. It is what it is. He has a fan. I leave the fan on for him if I feel the temperature is too much. Cause like today it's overcast and rainy, but it's probably 74. I'm not going to put the air conditioner on, but we're always worried for Arno. So he has a special fan. So if it gets above 70, I put the fan on for him and he seems to like it.
Well, so let me comment on some temperature things. So rabbits are very, very cold resistant. Anything over 86 Fahrenheit tends to be a challenge for them. The ideal temperature for rabbits is actually 60. However, they're totally fine. Pretty much I'd say anything between negative 15, probably negative temperatures, and then into the 86 range. So
he doesn't seem any worse for wear. He hasn't shed. Yeah. I mean, there's not like gigantic piles of fur or whatever around the bottom or in the big part of the condo or anything like that. So he doesn't seem to be any worse for wear. He is an extremely mellow rabbit. I mean, he's just kind of chill about whatever, which is why we love him.
So one of the other things you told me about is how you immediately added to your repertoire of rabbit entertainment zones in the home. You got a playpen and a cushy pillow and some other toys. and tell me about the story about how you were already understanding rabbit language and you sensed that he needed his poo box in the playpen. And then what did he do?
So the playpen we got, because I mean, the condo was large, and the condo that Felicia has built, it is engineered with the entire premise that there is everything that a rabbit needs to stay in that condo, get enough exercise, have enough room to run around, all of those sorts of things. So there's everything that he needs in there. However, again, he is super, super spoiled, and we were concerned he doesn't have enough jumping around room. So we bought a playpen. It's one of these large metal playpens, and when we open it up, it pretty much takes up my entire front room, so that he can jump around and do his thing.
Yeah, and you have a tile floor, so you don't have to worry about him eating.
I mean, even
carpet.
If he had an accident, no big whoop. I mean, it's easy cleanup.
Yeah, I mean, but we also have to be concerned about, you don't ever want rabbit on carpet unsupervised, because they might eat the carpet.
Yeah, I mean, when we go in the playpen, I mean, he goes in there when we're watching TV. That's like his TV time. We all go in there and we watch TV in the front room and eat dinner, and he sits in the playpen and we all watch TV together. So the first time we did it, again, my middle daughter that thinks he's just the second coming of whatever, she thought that he needed a fluffy pillow to sit on because the floor was hard. So we had to buy a special fluffy pillow. He got some special toys, some balls that are made out of wood that he can roll around. Now, I will say he's very clever with that. You can roll in the ball, he'll pick it up and he'll fling it. Now, I don't know if he's just irritated with me and doesn't want to play, but we think it's funny. So then we get the ball and then we hand it back to him. So we do that. The first time he was in there, we did not have the poo box, and he had an accident on the floor. And I was like, why would I not bring the poo box in there? That was stupid on my part. So we cleaned up the accident. The next time we tried it, I put the poo box inside. Again, it's a big circle. And we put the poo box in there, and then he uses the poo box when he's in the playpen. So, I mean, he can stay in the playpen the whole time we're in the front room. And if he has to go, he knows that's where I'm supposed to go. So even when he's in the playpen for hours and we're all watching TV and jacking around, he will go to the bathroom in the poo box.
Elaborate some more on his litter box, poo box training. You know, like, how does he deal with that in his condo?
Again, everything, this is the best thing about these rabbits, is I did nothing. He showed up trained by Felicia this way. He only goes to the bathroom in the poo box. He does not urinate anywhere except this poo box ever. Since he's been home for 36 days at this house, he has never once urinated in the large part of the condo. It has only been that specific box. Literally no accidents. Now, sometimes he camps out at the food bin and he'll drop some little poop balls or whatever, but I mean, he does not pee anywhere except that box ever. He is an extreme, I mean, if I pick him up and put him back down, he acts like I have the cooties because he has to clean himself, because apparently we're all just germs. But yeah, he only goes in the box. And then depending on, you know, how many times he takes care of his business, I mean, I usually just change it once a day. But sometimes I need to change it twice a day. But like I said, he only goes in the box. He doesn't spray. There is no whatever. He just squats and does his business. He's not hiking his leg up and trying to like spray urine all over the place. He goes in the box, he does his business, and then comes back out and he's ready to play.
Yeah, that's an interesting comparison that you have there, because I think people who haven't had rabbits, they may not realize that, you know, it's not like a male dog urinating, for example. So they, you know, rabbits basically pee out at like about a 45 degree angle. And so they really want to back their backside into something. So the poo box has got three high sides, and they back themselves into that. They feel that they're backed into something, like, okay, I've backed up as far as I can, and then now I'm going to do my business. So there's quite a bit of a tactile thing to it. And then that also, in case they shoot high, maybe still is in the poo box. Yeah.
And this was a poo box that he had already been trained on. So his smell was there. Everything was there. So he already knew that this was his spot to go to the bathroom. And again, I think that also lends itself to why there's no accidents at all.
Yeah. So you guys recently had a fun adventure at a veterinary prep school.
Yes, we did. We made a field trip this week. I will tell everybody, I call Felicia and I was like, hey, I gotta tell you something. And she was like, okay. So we get on the phone and I'm like, my youngest daughter, she is in, they have a special veterinary tech program at a high school in town. It's a magnet program. You have to apply to get in. They only take 20 kids, et cetera. And it's a vet science program. And once they get done after their senior year, they get a, they sit for the state board and they are able to be a certified veterinary technician in the state that we live in Georgia. So it's a very cool program. They have three or four teachers there that deal with it. One of the teachers, she has a classroom that's like three or four classrooms in one, and she has birds, reptiles, she's got chinchillas, she's got a tortoise, she's got all kinds of stuff, and she has rabbits. But they are the large, what are those? The Holland lop ears, the big ones. I mean, they're like the size of a small dog. They're very big rabbits. And they were going to work on a small animal certification. And so my daughter came home and she was like, can we just take our no? And I was like, I don't know. She's like, no. She's like, just for me. She's like, you know, I don't want to share the community rabbit. And I was like, okay, then fine. So we load him up in the travel cage. Well, first of all, the teacher had asked my daughter, she was like, you know, do you have anything to bring him in? And my daughter was kind of snooty, but she's like, of course, we have a travel cage. We've got a condo. We have everything that we need for our no. So we load him up in the travel cage, head to the school. It's early in the morning. We go to Starbucks every day. We stop in the Starbucks line and everybody's coming to the window. Oh my gosh, what is that? And Arno, again, nickname entertainer. He's like, whoop, people are looking at me. Let me showcase with the tea box. He has this thing where he will put an empty tea box on his head and he flings it around and people laugh. And then he sees you laughing and then he just ramps it up more. So when everybody started looking at him in the Starbucks drive-thru, he had to put the tea box on his head and really just showcase. So everybody was like, oh my gosh, this is the best rabbit ever. So we get to the school, go inside, the teacher comes out and she is immediately entranced with Arno. And she's asking, are we going to show him? And I was like, no, he's just a pet. And she was asking the question because he is, his colors, his, he's a broken chocolate. It's, you know, it's a very distinct color. He's really, really pretty. His chocolate color is more of a milky chocolate. It's not a super dark chocolate color. He's very pretty, has very pretty face markings. So she comes over and she's like, wow, that's quite the travel cage. And I'm like, yes, I'll get to that later when we explain the condo. So she pops the top, she grabs him out. He literally doesn't do anything. She just puts him under the arm and we walk back to where the students are going to do whatever. So today was nail trimming. Again, this lady has never met this rabbit before or anything. And she was like, you know, how much is he handled? And I'm like, from the minute he was born until now, every day. So I said, he's very well socialized with people. So they were doing nail trimming. And if you don't, if you're listening to this podcast and you've never had a rabbit before, it is an extremely odd scenario to trim rabbit toenails because the rabbits get flipped upside down. It seems like it's not going to work, but it's just how it works. And it's how you trim rabbit toenails. The rabbit needs to be upside down. So she literally takes Arno, she flips him upside down on a table. He's not in between anything. And when Felicia trains you, she shows you a different way. You kind of put him in between your legs to let the legs help support the rabbit while they're upside down to keep, you know, keep them what, you know, they need to be held there. So he's on a hard table. She flips him upside down. And my daughter, who has never trimmed a rabbit's toenails before, she gives her the little trimmers. And she's like, I'm going to hold him and you do it. So the little kids have teams of two people. Somebody's holding the rabbit. Somebody's trimming the nails. And the teacher is holding Arno so that my daughter can do it. And he's not kicking. He's not fidgeting. He's not stressed. He's not making noises like he's nervous, like he's freaking out. He's just sitting there. And the teacher looks at me. And this is a veterinarian that teaches this program at the school. So she's not a novice to animals. And she looks at me and she said, this has to be the most chill rabbit I have ever seen in my life. She said, how old is he? And I said, he's not even one yet. And she just kind of, her jaw dropped and she was like, what? And then she's, as she's got him flipped upside down, she says, and he's not neutered. And I was like, no, ma'am. I said, the place where I got him from, that they don't do that. And she was like, all right, we'll talk when we get done trimming the nails. So we trim all the nails. Again, he didn't kick. He didn't flinch. These other rabbits that these other kids have are just, they're all over the place. They're upside down. They're right side up. They're trying to hop off. They're kicking people with the back feet. It's a whole fun fest going on. And we are literally done in less than 5 minutes. All of our nose nails are trimmed. We're finished. He's flipped back up to the right way. And he's just sitting on the table like, hey, how's everything going? Looking at these other rabbits acting like morons.
Yeah, rabbits are chill. Yeah, rabbits from my rabbit tree, they know that if they cooperate, those nails get done real fast.
Lickety split. Yes, lickety split, we're done. So he comes, she flips him back over, and then she's like, so how does it work with him not being neutered? And I was like, there is no working. I said, he's just, she was like, do you have problems with spraying and whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, so then I have to go through the whole spiel of this whole thing, where the rabbits come from, how they're trained, all that kind of stuff. And she was like, that is unbelievable. And I was like, I know, right? I said, how cool is it? I said, everything he doesn't, you know, he's just, she's like, well, she's like, I have to say, this is probably one of the best behaved rabbits I've ever seen. She's like, he is the most chill rabbit I have ever seen. And she said, I can't believe that he's also not neutered and he's acting as great as he is. And I was like, I know, he's the best ever. So we get him all loaded up. She carries him back up to the front. At this point, everybody from the office has come out because they want to see the rabbit, because he's very different looking than the rabbits that are at the school. Everybody wants to see him. We put him in the thing, in the little travel cage. I take him back to the truck. I'm riding home and I'm literally like virtually high-fiving Arnaud because he was a freaking rock star. I was so proud of him because he just went up there, got his stuff done, nails trimmed, showed everybody what he's like, a showcase number one rock star rabbit. We hop back in the cage and we come back to the house. So he got extra special greens that day because I was so happy with him.
He was ambassador rabbit for the day.
He was absolutely amazing. I mean, he was so well-behaved, just did exactly what he was supposed to do. Hey, I'm going to get my nails trimmed by the 14-year-old kid because all she really does is give me carrots. But if that's what she needs to do, that's what we're going to get done. He literally didn't flinch. He did not even like jerk a foot, like don't touch my foot, don't whatever. He just sat there upside down, got his nails trimmed right side up. And then we were like ready to go.
Yeah. I think it's very important when you're raising a rabbit to make sure that they're not having experiences that give them PTSD. So I'm not saying that I spaz out about cutting their nails and making sure that they don't bleed, but I am quite careful. So I'd say probably out of 400 nails that I might cut, I might get a little blood on one. So, you know, they don't have an experience where they're getting injured. And so they're used to being cared with. And so that I've also taken quite a few rabbits who were not raised well and who were very twitchy, and they would, you know, yank. I had this one rabbit that I bought from another breeder who, her name was Heidi, and she was like a demon possessed sock puppet. Like Heidi would, you know, try and like destroy my hands, and I would wear leather gloves and she would still try to destroy my hands.
Nice.
So I put a sock on her head one day. It's like, you know, like if you're going to try and be a demon possessed sock puppet and, you know, rip me to shreds, we're going to put a sock on your head. So then she would, you know, on the sock. Well, that happened 4 times. And then I put the sock on her head just proactively. And she was pissed that the sock was on her head. I took the sock off and I said, are you going to behave now? And she never bit again. Uh-huh. So when I got Heidi, she was very afraid. I mean, she was psychotically afraid. She would freak out over anything that sounded like flapping noises, like bird flapping noises, because it sounds like, you know, a hawk or something going to come and get me. And just absolutely lose her biscuits and freak out. And it was so bad because she was so afraid and so freaked out that when she had babies, she wouldn't put them in the nest box. She would tear the heck out of her nest box and then she wouldn't put them in the nest box because she was just terrified. So I had to spend 6 months with her getting her to learn that humans are not evil, that every time I pick her up, she's not going to be getting harmed. You know, that if it was so much work trying to get her to understand that she needed to be poo box trained and that she didn't need to be biting people. And, you know, and there's so much of this where I think once a rabbit learns to be afraid, it's hard, it's not impossible, but it's hard to make them unafraid. So how they're raised is exceptionally important. And I've taken, I had another rabbit that I got from a breeder who was extremely reserved. And I worked with her and it took her about 6 months as well. And then she got to be warm. And now she's, you know, and of course, an excellent rabbit and has had excellent genetics. And she has a whole, like, Morgan behind me is her kit. And
Morgan is Mr. Fidgety today. He is, he cannot sit still today.
He's having a good time. Well, he was having a lot of naps earlier. So, you know, he's up now.
He's got plenty of energy.
And then Chester was another rabbit. He was a full chocolate buck that I got. Chester is actually Morgan's papa. And I got him from another breeder who, and I got Chester very young. I would say he was about 3 months old. He had not had handling and he hadn't had any training. And he was very aggressive and he was a biter and he would just take your finger off. And so, you know, I feel very strongly from my own personal direct experiences that there are very few bad rabbits. And most of the time their behavior is all based upon how they were raised and how they're reformed. They can be reformed, but you're going to have to put a solid 6 months of pretty intensive effort into a rabbit to reform them if they weren't raised properly. So that's, it's really, really, really important.
Case in point, drive to Racine, Wisconsin and get a stinking rabbit. The work is done. That's the best part. It's already done. I mean, he's so freaking chill. I mean, he's the best rabbit. We all love him. He's the best.
So if you want to grab him and kind of put him on video here, the thing that I want to describe on video about Arnaud is that he, like, you know, there's a variety of broken chocolate rabbits and the broken pattern is white and then color.
So stinking cute. Face.
And yeah, give us an up close of his face there so we can see his face patterns. Yep. See that? Okay. And then let's see his back. So on his back, he's got a nice stripe and he also has some nice distributed pattern. His stripe is quite long. Let's see the color, you know, full color between his ears, right? He's got full color between his ears and full color on his ears. Yep. So he's got a real nice crown. He's got full color on his ears, color around the eyes. So he's an extremely solid confirmation for Polish, just excellent physical confirmation. He's got really nice paws too, nice big paws.
He does. I'm going to put him back because he's hot and I'm hot.
An excellent furring. And yeah, you're hot down there in Georgia. And here I am wearing, you know, several layers of wool. So broken chocolate, he's got really good confirmation and a lot of color. There is a broken chocolate. Like, let's contrast him here with Morgan. Morgan is he just doesn't have as much color, right? He's more white. Now he does still have.
I know, such a good boy. There he does.
He has a sweet muzzle and he has really good color in his ears. Although that's not.
He has that cool white stripe, which is kind of funky and neat. I do like the white stripe.
Well, it's kind of cool looking, but that's not confirmation for the Polish standard. That would be a disqualification.
I know, but he looks cool.
And then here's his. You know, he's got like a half stripe and not a lot of color on the sides, but he does have these little cool one elbow. Well, he does have, look at that. He's got two elbow patches. Now Arnaud has two elbow patches as well. And that's because their mama has elbow patches. So, you know, and, or his mama has elbow patches versus like Arnaud's papa, Steve has elbow patches. Yeah. Trying to get my video to focus here. Come on, video. Anyways, so broken chocolate. I was just wanted to draw some.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely a showstopper on the field trip. I mean, because he is pretty. I mean, and he is the chocolate color. So I mean, he looks pretty, and everybody knows it. He knows it too.
Okay, so we talked about the vet tech program, which was really, I think that's really cool. Oh, hey, did your youngest daughter who's in the vet tech program, did she get friends, you know, reaching out to her on and saying, hey, your rabbit was awesome. What, you know, what happened there?
It's high school. No, it's not how it works. You've forgotten, Felicia. That's not how high school works.
Yeah, high school was a way back for me.
Yeah, so no, it's not like that anymore.
Okay. Maybe high school was different when we were in high school. So the routine thing, you were telling me that you've gone completely overboard here and you're getting organic greens.
Yeah. Everybody decided, including the middle daughter, the one who spoils him probably more than anybody else here, that we wanted to make sure he wasn't getting burnt out on the greens. So the first, maybe when he first got here, I did not really give him any special stuff because I wanted to make sure that his digestive stuff was good to go. So I didn't introduce anything else. He was eating the regular different two styles of food that he has, the green one and the brown one. And then like the seeds every once in a while. So I didn't give him anything that was except what he had already been eating. And then after he had been here, probably maybe 2.5 weeks or so, I went to the store and got him some greens. And there was the paper that you sent. It has a list of the different types of things that they can have. So I went to go track down some different types of greens. One of them was dandelion greens. Who would have thought you could find those in town, but you can here in Savannah. So we got those. I got some organic carrots with the tops on. Lots of organic stuff. So started giving him some of those kinds of things. Then again, the middle daughter was worried he was going to get burnt out. So I went to a different, funky grocery store in town. And that was where we found microgreens. So he got radish microgreens. We got some snow pea microgreens. And his new favorite are sunflower sprout microgreens. They are ridiculously expensive, but in the first day he kind of turned his nose up, but now he makes a beeline for those sunflower sprouts. When they go in the bin, he is like on it, like white on rice. He loves those stinking things.
So
we try to get a variety.
So he's kind of slow to adopt new foods. You were telling me about how you give him something new he's never seen before. He kind of sniffs around it for a while.
I don't know. He'll futz around with it for, an hour or so. And then he realizes we're not trying to poison or kill him. And he's like, oh yes, she got the good stuff. He is, I would call him bougie at this point. Everything he gets is organic. It comes from specialty food stores. Everything is some weird off whatever organic microgreen something or other that has to be $20 a box, but apparently that's all that this rabbit will eat. So he's probably it's my middle daughter has turned him into this. I'll just be honest, it's all her fault. He's so spoiled. It's just ridiculous. She asked me yesterday if I could get her a stroller so she could walk him back and forth to the mailbox. And she was serious. That was not a joke. She was like, can you just get a stroller so we can walk around together? And I'm just thinking she has lost touch with reality. And she's looking at me because she's over here on the side. But she asked me first because we were walking to the mailbox. Our driveway is really long. And she was like, can we just carry Arno? And I was like, no, I'm not carrying Arno to the stinking mailbox, son. And she's like, well, can you get us a stroller so we can go walking? And I was like, I don't know. I'll think about it.
Okay. So
we already have a playpen. We have a fluffy pillow. We've got microgreens, all this other kind of stuff. What's the big deal if I buy a stroller?
So I have a couple things to interject there.
Yeah.
To be clear, I did not raise him to be bougie.
I'm fully aware that you did not.
He was quite happy with lovely ManaPro pellets.
Yep.
And quite happy with Sherwood pellets, which I use as a hay substitute. And he would occasionally get some lovely carrot and he would definitely get sunflower seeds. I did not go overboard and go with organic sunflower seeds.
No, it's organic sunflower sprout microgreens.
They are
$20. The bag is that big. It's $20. Yes,
but you also got organic sunflower seeds.
Everything is organic for this joker. He doesn't get anything that's not organic. He gets bottled water that is then further filtered because we need to make sure Arno has the best of it. I said this rabbit is living his best life. He wants for nothing. He is spoiled unbelievably. My middle daughter, I told Felicia earlier this week, I said she doesn't know how to pick him up the right way. Arno does not care. She literally carries him around upside down like a sack of potatoes. The rabbit loves my middle daughter so much, he could care less how she carries him around. He will literally go to sleep on her. Today, he was sleeping on her upside down. She's petting him and he started dozing off and his head fell off of her arm and he jerked himself awake. because he was like, oh my gosh, I fell asleep and fell off her arm. He does not care how Sun holds him. He doesn't care. He is perfectly content to sit there on her lap and she pets him because she spoils him like nobody's business.
We need a serious video of that thing, because I mean, I have videos of rabbits flopping and napping, and that's really cool. I don't have any videos of in arms passing out.
because she was sitting over here on the, I have a futon couch in my office, and I was doing work, and she was like, I'm pretty sure he's going to sleep. And he started making this noise, and she was like, what is that noise? And I said, it sounds like a clucking noise. So I Google it, and it says it sounds, and everybody says, you know, the best thing we can liken it to is a low kind of chicken clucking sound. And it means that the rabbit is content. So I told her, and I was like, okay. She's like, well, I'm pretty sure he's going to sleep. And lo and behold, if he didn't go to sleep, and then his little head fell off and he jerked himself up because he had literally passed out upside down on the girl's lap.
Yeah. There are a lot of people that call that teeth purring, and for the really experienced rabbit breeder, I think it's somebody's really got to have had a lot of rabbits and spent a lot of time with a lot of different rabbits at different stages in life to know the difference audibly between teeth purring and bruxism. Bruxism is where they're grinding their teeth. Now, I got to go into the whole teeth thing, and then I got to go back to the, we want to go to the mailbox thing, because I still have something on that topic. That was too much fun. So what a lot of people don't know about rabbits is that they maintain their teeth. So that, you know, we talked in the last podcast about how they grow between 1 millimeter to 2 millimeters per week. And they are normally chewing on very fibrous things. They're going to maintain their teeth by chewing on cardboard and things like that. They also explore their environment with their teeth. So there's a lot of wear that their teeth have. Now, on the incisors on the top, if this is the outside, there's enamel on the outside of their incisors. And the lower incisors, there's also enamel on the outside, but not on the inside surface. Okay, not on the inside surface. So what they do with the upper teeth and with the lower teeth is they do this. And this is a specific jaw movement where the lower jaw is scraped and the lower incisor is scraped against the upper incisor. And what they're doing is sharpening. So they're sharpening the edge on the upper incisor on the inside. And because it doesn't have any enamel there, that works really good. And then they do this, which is upper incisor on the inside of the lower incisor. And then they sharpen the lower incisor. And then for the molars in the back, they kind of do this like little grinding thing. And sometimes it's just a little bit front and back. Sometimes it's kind of round and round, a little bit of optical or elliptical shape. There is legitimate teeth grinding and legitimate teeth sharpening that's going on. And then bruxism is, in many cases, I'm in pain, I'm sick, I'm unhappy. Sometimes it can be they've got a broken tooth. You know how humans, if they have a tooth that's loose, they'll mess with it. Rabbits are going to mess with a loose tooth as well. And so that can be some bruxism. But over time, you get to know the difference between teeth purring, and which is a little noise. That's probably what you were hearing. It's a little noise they make with their teeth, and it's definitely a contentment indication. And then there's the sharpening noise. They'll do that, and the sharpening in the back. And then just, you know, the bruxism, which they're in pain. And I've only had one rabbit who was doing bruxism, and it was a very sick rabbit. So there you go. There's the teeth topic. Now back to the, we'd like to have a transport to the mailbox. I think you've already got that one in action, because don't you have on order an 18-inch or a 16-inch travel cage? And I call it the one-arm transport, take my rabbit everywhere with me cage.
We talked about that, but I think she likes the bigger one because it fits perfectly in the front seat of her car.
Okay.
So I don't know about that. And she just asked me for the stroller yesterday, and I don't know if I'm going to acquiesce and let her get the stroller. I mean, that's too much. I mean, come on, Felicia, are you serious? You're going to be walking the rabbit in a stroller to the mailbox.
Well, I don't really think that rabbits like strollers anyways. My perception is that they wouldn't like it. I can say that I do have I have a travel cage, right, which is 2 foot by 12 foot. And that is something that you could take a rabbit for, you know, a couple days, and there's enough space in there to where they're not going to be, you know, they're not all cramped. They can move around and stuff, and they're perfectly fine in that for a couple days. So it's also good for transport. It's good for any place that you're trying to transport where you can carry with two arms, because it's a two-arm carry sort of thing. However, if you're just like, I'm gonna pop outside and I'm gonna run around around the property or something like that, you may want a smaller cage that you can just carry with one arm. Or in the case where you got Mr. Micro Rabbit here, like Morgan, because some of my rabbits are of the smaller variety, he's perfectly fine in the smaller cage for, I'm gonna call it a day trip. You know, if I pop out to another place and just, you know, if I just want a really convenient cage I can carry with just one hand, that's what I use the smaller one for. So wheels, I think the wheels is a bit much.
Yeah, I think so too. I think she's just going to have to miss Arno while she walks to the mailbox and back.
Well, now I do have another idea for you. There is a thing called a rabbit carrier.
No, let's not. She's listening. Let's not give her any ideas, Felicia. We do not need a rabbit carrier. Come on.
Well, a rabbit carrier is a device that you strap onto yourself and you wear it in front, and it's like a little baby carrier platform.
She just had a gasp of, yes. No, Felicia. No. No. Not buying a rabbit carrier. No. I'm already buying $20 sunflower microgreens. No.
Well, you know, if she buys, look at this. Morgan is so excited here.
All over the place. He is jacked up this afternoon.
He just
still.
He just thumped. In fact, did you hear him thump?
Yes. He is just one side to the other, one side to the other, one side to the other.
You know what I think it is he's looking at Isabella back there.
That's what I think too.
I think he's like, whoa, what's this dough over here?
And Isabella just cannot be bothered, because she is just like, I have no time for you, mister.
Well, you know, if he was around, she would probably, I don't know, she's probably not in the mood right now.
I think that is exactly what it is. She appears to be nonplussed by his showing off.
He's definitely checking her out, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, if Sun is if she decides to buy a rabbit carrier on her own, then I guess she can take Arno to the mailbox in a rabbit carrier, and she could go outside and do exercise while transporting her best buddy everywhere.
Right.
Sounds like an exercise routine to me, as opposed to a baby stroller. That is a bit much. So of course Arno is a therapy rabbit. Obviously you guys are getting lots of fun with him. How would you say he's helping you with regards to being distracted from the stressful things?
I think Arno is very good at doing what it is the person needs. I think he's a very empathetic rabbit. Like if I'm having a bad day, he will hop up on the shelf a lot, because when he hops up on the shelf, he knows that I'm going to go over there and give him some pets. So if I'm having a really crappy day at work and I work from home, and obviously I leave the lid open all day long, and I open it in the morning and it stays open the entirety of the day, he'll hop up a lot on the shelf and just be like, clearly this lady needs to come give me some pets today because she's having a rough day. And then for my middle daughter, again, he is a source of enjoyment for her, because he literally will let her do whatever she wants to do, carry him the wrong way, put him down the wrong way, whatever. He doesn't flip out. He doesn't do anything. And then my youngest daughter, you know, obviously he's show and tell at the school, and that sort of thing. So, I mean, he does whatever he needs to do for whatever the person needs. And he knows the different personalities that we have in the house. Like I said, if I try to pick him up the wrong way, he's like, yep, not having it. But if she picks him up the wrong way, he's like, yeah, I don't care, whatever. This girl's got it, whatever. This lady, she knows better. She better pick me up the right way or it's not going to work out for her. He understands each person, and I think that person's needs. And I think that's a very unique trait to these rabbits that you have that are the therapy rabbits. I don't think all rabbits have that. I think part of it is you breed for it, and then part of it is that you train for it, and having that human interaction literally from day one, I don't think that's, I agree with you. I'm not saying that it can't be fixed. I'm just saying it comes natural because it's been ingrained from the time that they are born. So it's just, it's not something that they think about. They are used to human interaction, emotions, personalities, and things like that from the jump. So I think part of it is breeding. And I think the other part is the training, like I said, from day one.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a distinct difference between rabbits who are trained to be a therapy rabbit from being a tiny baby. You know, as you've said, from day one, because while I was able to reform Heidi, you know, she and I never really became best friends. She wanted her pets. And when she retired, she loved me, you know, and I loved her and we said goodbye. But, you know, she never really had a drive to be with humans. And on the other hand, I can take Java and put Java in the little 18-inch cage that I have, and I'll put it on my lap on the couch, and that way if they need to go pee-pee, you know, then they can go pee-pee in there. And Java, boy, she'll just jump out of there, and she wants to be on me, and she's happy if I'm petting her, then she's happy if I stop petting her. I get the eye. You know, she puts her head where if I go downstairs, then Java, her sister Sable. We got some pictures right here. This is Orthos Mama. That is Bright, their brother. This is Sable, and that's Java. And so Java, Sable, and Orthos will all come up, and they want pets. And if I pet Orthos, then Java and Sable will put their face over by my hand. And then I pet them, and then Orthos will put her face by my hand. So what they're doing is they're indicating, hey, I want you to pet me some more, but they're doing it in rabbit language. You know, rabbit language is either I put my face under you, I put my face by you. You know, it's some sort of a submission and a please pet me sort of a thing that they're doing. And that's rabbit language. So these ones here, and Bright is probably the most friendly rabbit I've ever seen in my entire life. And these rabbits, from very beginning, from, you know, baby, day one, have been trained to be therapy rabbits. And so these does have a drive to be with humans. They have a drive to want pets. And Fiverr was my first rabbit. And she, every morning, does circles and binkies and zoomies in her cage and wants pets every morning. And she's quite content after she's had her morning pets. Of course, she wants her evening pets too, but she will fly across the top of three cages to get to me because I open the top of her cage and then she's up there and flies across some more things and flies across because she's a daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
She just flies. So I think when they're raised like that, and I got Fiverr when she was 4 months old, but I spent an hour a day with her for 3 months straight. So she had that much training, and that was just in the beginning. Obviously she's had more training since then, but some of these rabbits definitely have a significant drive for human interaction. And I do select for that. And I train and raise for that. And that makes them comfortable, right? To have their little faces touched. And then they don't freak out about that. And they don't bite. They're not afraid. And that helps when you check their teeth. I train so, you know, you can touch their chest and they don't freak out, which normally that will freak out a rabbit. Their belly and their, you know, their abdomen area. They're used to being handled. They're used to being upside down. I had one gal who bought a rabbit from me who I was out. I brought a couple rabbits out to her to see. And I was holding the rabbit up in the air. And she's like, whoa, I've had rabbits for 20 years and I've never seen a rabbit get held up in the air like that and have it not freak out. I'm like, really? I hold them up in the air all the time. I hold them up in the air and I dance around with them and I sing to them and stuff. You know, I mean, the point here is, you know, you want you want that fear out of them. They're a prey animal.
Yeah.
And it's this matter of demonstrating to them through consistent behavior that they're safe. I think one of the dangerous ways that rabbits get injured is when you're carrying them or you're holding them and they're not satisfied with that. They feel afraid in some level, and then they start launching off. And I've developed like quarterback receiver hands for rabbits where, you know, they flip around and do whatever, and I can sense them doing things and I catch them. And then I have to chastise them and say, you know, you can't do that. You can't go taking a flyer towards the wall. You're going to end up with a broken tooth. And there was one time when Bright, this little rabbit here, he fell off of the top of a cage. I had put him on top of a cage with some does, and he was just supposed to sit there and hang out for a little bit. He decides to launch himself off the top of the cage, bust one of his upper incisors, and it didn't come off all the way, and it was stuck back in his mouth kind of on an angle. And because I do inspections every day, I found that, and I had to do a little dental work on him. But, you know, tooth grow back, and he was totally fine. But that's how they get injured, is by going and taking flyers. That's basically it. So it's falling. I would say falling or slipping on slick surfaces that they can't get a grip on, and then their legs spread out or something. Or if they slide as they're running really fast and they slide and they slam into something.
Mm-hmm.
Or taking flyers. Those are the primary ways that rabbits will get injured. I know some breeders who have told me that they always carry their rabbits in dorsal recumbency, and that's upside down, that they carry them in dorsal recumbency because otherwise they pop and fly. And I'm like, you know, I don't have a problem with my rabbits popping and flying. They're trained that handling is totally fine. They're supposed to be upside down. One of the big things that I train them for is I call it forward carry, right? You've seen me do this a bunch of times, forward carry. So it's a high forward carry. Their foot's, you know, there on my arm, and I can feel them, and my hand is not around their neck or anything. It's under their arms, and not under their armpits, but like on their forearms. So they're supporting themselves on me. And so then they're not having any sort of, you know, respiratory pressure, anything like that. But this forward carry, if you got a rabbit who's not used to forward carry, this will freak them out, because they'll just launch off, you know, just, whoosh, you know, and then they're gone. And I can't, you know, I guarantee you, if they're flying off at that height, and they're going to fly into something and bust their face.
Yep.
That's just, yep. So this training thing is just, it's super important. I wish I understood more about where are people normally getting their rabbits from? You know, are they going to the pet store? Why do they go to the pet store? Why aren't they looking up the American Rabbit Breeders Association and finding a rabbit breeder that's in their area to get connected with them, to see what stock they have and how are they raised? I mean, I've been contacted by people as far away as California, because they were looking for a good quality Polish rabbit breeders. So yeah, I wish I knew more about what the circumstances are, where is the causation or the pathway up to people having bad rabbit experiences, so that maybe those could be addressed more proactively. Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know how it's happening. I wish I knew. You know, I don't know where the pet stores are getting their stock from either.
Morgan, he's the best.
look how tolerant he is.
Look at him.
Yeah, he's got his ears back right now too. He's like, I'm not really pleased with this. Yeah. He loves his pets, and he loves to have his little forehead rubbed. He's you've never seen a rabbit so absolutely enamored with something, except when he's getting his little forehead rubbed. But normally only when he's on his all fours, he's just not as enamored with me holding him. But so this is rabbit trust right here, where you can go stick your face in the rabbit's face and they don't bite you.
Yeah, and we do that with Arno all the time. all the time. Everybody puts their face in our nose face. And he's just like, okay, whatever. I'm going to smell it.
Speaking of that, another face topic. So this is kind of on a slightly gross but related area. I had mentioned to you that, you know, we're talking about biosecurity measures. And I think, you know, hygiene is important, and there are things called germs. There are things called viruses and stuff. And, you know, if you have a pet rabbit, you want to be careful about who is touching your rabbit, where they've been, what they've been up to, what are they doing. And there are accounts of rabbits having been kissed by people that had facial herpes, and then that turns into genital herpes on the rabbit. So just, you know, things to be aware of. That's one of the reasons why in our rabbitry we have the biosecurity policy of hand washing, and that's hand washing before you touch the rabbits. So and do you have anything else for edition number two of Rabbit Podcast? Any other salient things you can think of?
No, but I'm sure we'll have more to bring to the table for the next one, because clearly we are living quite the life down here now with Arno.
Well, you should tell me a little bit more about, you did mention something about your tunnel modification there. So you've got the cage top.
The tunnel modification did not work. The one end of the tunnel is close to the wall, and probably within his first 2 or 3 weeks here, he was hanging out on the end that's close to the wall, and it made me nervous. Like I was worried that he was going to fall out that end of the tunnel. So my middle daughter's son and I, we got a piece of cardboard, and basically I put a piece of cardboard up against the end of it, and I taped it to the top of the tunnel. And again, I took it down when we closed it, because when it's closed, clearly I don't need anything. But when it's up during the day, I'm working, not paying attention. And next thing you know, he's fallen down the side of the condo. So I put the cardboard there, and it seemed like it was okay for the first day. And then the second day he realized it was closed off, he was ticked off. I mean, he was started scratching it with his feet. Then he turned around and he used both back feet and took out the cardboard, and it was gone. And I was like, and I was not happy with him. I was like, okay, so you don't want the cardboard up there. Okay, fine. So what had to happen is I use Zoom a lot during the day. I have lots of meetings throughout the day. So on a day when I did not have meetings, I left the Zoom running all day long. So I'm looking at my desk and I'm watching him out of the rear view. And anytime I saw him poking out what I thought was too far out of that side of the tunnel, I would spin around and I would look at him and I would yell, "No, sir, absolutely not." And he would just be like, "Oh my gosh, did she just yell at me?" And because he would, you know, it's my voice like that, he would duck back into the tunnel, which is what I was looking for. Stop hanging out so far. This is not cool. You're making me nervous. So we just did that for several times. And like I said, if I see him now hanging out, I will look back over and I will yell at him and yell at him, "No, sir." And he'll go back in the tunnel, because I just don't want him to get hurt. I want him to have the lid open. He likes having the lid open. At the end of the day, he does not like it when I close the lid. He will pop up and try to put his face too far so that I can't close it. And I'm like, dude, you got to go to sleep. And I got to go to sleep. I can't leave the lid open. You got to have the lid down because it's nighttime. So he definitely prefers it open, but again, at nighttime, it has to be closed. So during the daytime when it's open, like I said, he understands now. And I mean, I don't think I've had to correct him in several weeks. Like I said, he was making me nervous. I was worried about it, but like I said, from the training I was up there, the stern voice, make sure you're like, you know, it's just like any type of an animal or any type of a correction you're doing. So that was what we did. And now, I mean, he hasn't leaned out the end of the tunnel and I can't tell you how long, but I mean, it was like, I was letting him know, this is not cool. Cut the crap. We're not doing this. Get your buns back in there and hang out the other end. Cause if you fall out that end, you're just going to fall on the dang shelf and then you're going to tumble down. Okay, fine. Cause if he falls out there, I mean, he's going to be stuck. It's going to be a problem. We could have a serious incident.
Yeah, he could get his leg jammed in there and it would be bad. Yeah.
Yes, it would be awful. So there was no uncertain terms. So like I said, we tried the cardboard, didn't work. He was like, "Who is this lady? She's clogged up my tunnel," not having it. So yeah. So we just had to do the corrective voice. And he's smart. He learned very quickly that I was not messing around. And then there was a couple of times I closed the lid because he kept doing it over and over and over again. I was like, okay, fine. If you're going to be a jerk and you're going to try and hurt yourself, then I'm closing the lid. Have a nice day.
Yep.
And then he was like pouting. And when he pouts and he doesn't get his way, he will hop around and he'll either go to the back corner or he will sit at the front and turn around and you talk to him and he'll turn around and show you his backside. And I was like, okay, you can pout, but you're going to be pouting and you're going to be fine and we're not going to be hurt. So this is how it's going to work. If you can't act right in the tunnel, then the lid goes down. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's like, he's like having a toddler. My way or the highway.
So you had also noticed that he seems to have picked up on the Zoom recording noise. So you've noticed some behaviors out of him that he's picked up on that.
He will ramp it up. There is, when you do a Zoom recording, there is an automated voice that comes on from the Zoom software and it says, you know, recording has begun or whatever. So he knows when I'm doing those that I am having a meeting with a client or whatever. And when that happens, he'll ramp it up. He'll go get the tea box. He'll start throwing something around inside the condo because he knows he's on TV. So he'll do whatever, like any regular time. He's chill. He's hopping around, whatever. But he knows when the Zooms are on and he'll really just, and a lot of times you'll see him, he'll come all the way over in that corner on the shelf and he'll lean over. And when I see somebody's face, like, oh my gosh, the rabbit's getting ready to leave. He's not leaving, but everybody's like, you can see their eyes. And then I know he's like right there on the edge, leaned over too far. So he definitely knows when a Zoom is happening. He's his namesake, the entertainer. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, he was always the jester around here. That's for sure. I've raised over 75 rabbits and I've never had a rabbit who is as much of an intentional and persistent jester as Arno. Yeah.
He's hilarious. I know.
So what happens at night? I mean, other than the lid comes down, what, you know, what else happens at night?
Nothing.
Yeah.
My bedroom wall is on the opposite side of this. This is my office that we're in where he stays. There's nothing that happens at night. He knows that we are sleeping. I guess he knows my bedroom is there. He does not make any noise ever. He's just quiet. He just goes to sleep. He makes his noise during the daytime. I mean, I know they're supposed to be nocturnal. He does not make any noise at nighttime that I can hear. And like I said, my bedroom wall is right on the opposite side of his. So he doesn't do anything. I put the lid down, tell him goodnight. We leave a little nightlight on for him. I leave the fan on and I see him in the morning.
Yep. Yeah. I think it goes back to that whole element of them being very empathic. And, you know, rabbits are technically crepuscular, not corpuscular, but crepuscular, which means they're active in the morning and at night. And they tend to nap out during the daytime. So do you find that he's napping out at like noon or two or something like that?
He does not. I mean, maybe it's because he understands the schedule. He does not take a ton of naps during the day unless my middle daughter's son comes over and she gets him out and he sleeps with her. He takes naps on her. Other than that, he generally does not. And like I said, maybe he's just switched his schedule and he sleeps at night. He doesn't take a ton of naps during the daytime. I mean, every once in a while he will, but it'll be like a cat nap. I mean, it's not very long at all. So I think he's adjusted his schedule and he sleeps pretty much at night because he doesn't sleep a lot during the daytime. Like the tunnel, I mean, he uses that for exercise. I mean, some of your rabbits sleep in it, not him. I mean, he's in and out dancing around in it. He doesn't sleep in the tunnel. And like I said, I mean, he's just chilling out there right now. Like I said, I mean, he'll sit and just chill and do whatever, but he does not nap very much during the daytime.
So is he flopping for you now? Does he do flops?
Oh yeah. He'll just be like, I'm done. I'm tired, whatever. I'm just going to like chill and like fall over sideways. Yeah.
Have you caught him flopping and then his eyes go closed and he's all sleeping out?
Has he done that yet? Sun says she's seen him do it. I have not. He doesn't. I will say an odd thing that we've noticed the past little bit, and I don't know if it's just because he's different. He really likes the travel cage. He will jump around in that thing and just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Like, Morgan is doing back there, the travel cage, he really likes that a lot. And then this other one, I don't know if it's a big space and he just wants to chill out or whatever, but the travel cage, Son calls it parkour. He's parkouring off the walls and everything in the travel cage. I mean, he's all over the place. And he definitely likes to play with the tee box more in the travel cage.
Well, I think that's because of the activity that's associated with when he's there. You know, he's got excitement time. It's travel time. It's time to be out and about doing stuff with friends.
Yeah.
So I think you were telling me about zoomies and binkies that he does in the morning too.
Yeah, when I first, because in the morning time, I'll take my youngest to school, come back, the routine, I come in from dropping her off, I come back, first thing I do is I come in here, talk to him, I pop the top, get the poo box, whatever, and once I pop the top and get the poo box out, he starts blazing around in the morning. I mean, he's just all over the place. I mean, to the shelf and down, around in the circle, in the tunnel, out of the tunnel, back to the shelf, back down to here, whatever. And he'll do that for probably a solid hour, and then he'll settle down and just be chill the rest of the day. But yeah, in the morning time when I first open the top, he's acting like it's just such a hard life in there. So he'll race around and just whatever in the morning time. But after about an hour, he settles down.
So have you seen him like literally running off the walls?
Not off the walls, but he runs some pretty big circles, and he will, I've seen him dive out of the tunnel onto the shelf, like that. Yeah. And then one time he like did it, but he lost his footing. So then he was like, he rolled down onto the thing, but then he jumped up and looked around and acted like he didn't do anything. And he acted like he was just cleaning himself. Oh, it was an accident. Everything's fine. That I was supposed to do that.
it's called recovery.
Yeah.
So tell me about the bottles. I know that one of the things that I've done recently is I've got silver wire. I wanted to have a silver in the water bottle all the time as an all natural disinfectant, antibacterial, you know. So I mean, obviously, first off, we're putting filtered water in there, and the intent with that is to take out any impurities as well as bacteria. But the silver wire I started to add, and I did ship those with your bottles there. So have you kept those, or have you lost them?
No, they're still in there.
They're still in there. Good. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, okay. Any final, what about Sun? Does she want to say something here?
No, I just told her she needed to go outside. Her boyfriend is using my carport to change tires, and I think he's hollering her name, so she needed to go.
Okay.
And well, Sun, you know, is not dressed properly for the podcast, because she was like, and I said, if you want to be on the next one, you fix your hair a little bit more, whatever, and I'm sure Felicia will let you be on the next podcast. Because she wants to tell her Arno stories.
There are no stories to be told. That is for sure. So it sounds like to me, you basically got a triple return on investment here of the therapy rabbit.
I mean, he's for me. And then my middle daughter, because she keeps asking, can you go back to see Felicia and get another rabbit? Because she would just rather keep Arno for herself. And I'm like, I'd love to go see Felicia again. However, I'm not driving 20 hours and 1100 miles. You can go get another rabbit. And she's like, well, I like Arno. And I'm like, yes, we all do. So he works for me. He works for Son. And then now we have him for the youngest daughter. You know, he's pitching in and doing his bit to help the FFA certification. So the vet tech program. So he's triple dipping. He's helping everybody here. Doing all of his parts.
Oh yeah. Good times. Is there like what other vet tech program things do you think are coming up that are rabbit oriented?
Well, they keep rabbits there. It's the small animal handling. So, I mean, it just depends on what it is. I mean, if they have some other small animal activity that needs to happen and, you know, they'll let her use Arno, then, you know, I'll haul him up to the school again or whatever. So it just depends on what the program needs. And if they need something, then, you know, we can take him up there.
Oh, good time. Sorry. Do you have any final words? Because I think we've covered some more good topics, different topics than last podcast.
No, but I'm looking forward to what we're going to cover on the next one. Again, it's, as you can see, our boy Morgan back there in the background, another one with a personality. Everybody there has different personalities. So if you're looking for a rabbit that is 100% trained and you can get all the stuff that you need, and it's literally so low freaking maintenance, I mean, Aristocrats Rabbitry is the way to go. I mean, it's so easy. I cannot explain how easy it is to have this rabbit. It is just, it's a big nothing burger, in your words. I know that's your favorite thing. Felicia loves to say it's a big fat nothing burger. It is literally a big fat nothing burger. It is the maintenance, the care, that you need for a rabbit and then what you get in return. It is just, there's literally nothing to do. It's so, so easy. And some pets, you know, people get them and there's so much work. And then that's where the fun gets sucked out, is it's just, there's so much that you have to do to care for it. And there's just, again, it's so easy. Everything is whatever, poo box trained. It's so simple to take care of that every single day. Here's your cool treats, you know, here's your cool water bottle, all the stuff that you need. And all you really want is some pets for me. I mean, it doesn't get any easier.
What are you doing for your shred?
You will be grumpy with me because I do not have a paper shredder, so I am buying it. I know it is what it is, but I found a place in town. It is all natural, no smell. It is literally just chewed up newspaper or cardboard. It's like, it's a brown color. He likes it, and so it works for us. Again, I don't have enough paper mail, newspaper, all that kind of stuff to keep it, whatever. And also, I mean, because I change the poo box twice a day, I probably don't need to, but I do. And the bottom part of the crates, I also change that out every single week. Again, I know it's not necessary, but I'm just a super clean freak. So I do it. So the bottom part gets changed out every single week. The poo box gets changed out twice a day. The travel cage, that gets changed out after every trip because that's just how we are. So this is what works for us. He's fine with it. Again, there's no smell. It's all organic, of course, because that's what Arno has to have. But it works for us and it's fairly inexpensive. Like I said, and it's, you know, when people come in the house, it's, you know, you don't smell a rabbit. Again, right. We're super, everything gets changed all the time. So it's, you know, the house just smells like a house. If you did not come in here, you would not know that we had a rabbit that was staying in our house unless you came into my office and saw him.
Right. So the bottom tray, you're not putting shred in that, right? You don't.
I put a little bit up at the front, yeah. Because if he camps out in the food bins, he will. Again, it's not the poop that stinks, but I mean, again, he likes it. It's whatever Arno likes at this point. Whatever Arno wants, Arno gets.
Well, when they're eating, their digestive tract is obviously very active and peristaltic contractions happen in the distal colon and it just squeezes the poo out.
Yeah. I mean, it's again, a big fat nothing burger. Again, it's why I only tidy it up once a week, but I mean, it's, you know, he's fine with it. He's happy with his little setup. So that's all that matters.
Yeah.
He's happy.
So on the topic of, you know, kind of the FFH stuff and 4-H sort of things. There's another gal who got a rabbit from me. Her name is Hope, and she won a rabbit show with her rabbit, Leopold. And Leopold is, Morgan here is Leopold's uncle. And she's thinking about doing a paper on rabbit breeding, something about rabbit breeding. And I said, well, no, I really think that you ought to interview a bunch of rabbit breeders and kind of do a, you know, come up with a set of questions that you would ask all the rabbit breeders and see how much consistency or variance there is in the answers. That would be interesting. You know, I had some curiosity that I had was from the whole veterinary perspective, because a vet obviously encounters tons and tons of different types of animals from different backgrounds, different homes, different proclivities and those sorts of things. So I thought it was really interesting what the vet instructor had to say about Arno, that he was, you know, the most chill and
she was very impressed. Like I said, because he was just very, very low key. He was, you know, he's unaltered. So he's not neutered. He was very calm. He didn't, you know, he had no bad behavior, no behavioral tics, issues, whatever you want to call it. And she had never handled him before. He had never seen her before. And just flipped him right upside down on a hard table. And, you know, Spring and I proceeded to trim the little toenails and we were on our way within 5 minutes. And she flipped him back over and he sat there. He didn't try to run around off the table or act crazy. And again, the other rabbits were not badly behaved because they're in it's a FFA program and it's a vet tech program. So there's kids handling these rabbits all the time. So it's not like the rabbits are, you know, bad rabbits. It's just Arno is, again, he's extremely well behaved. He's very quiet. He's not, you know, he knows, okay, this is somewhere different. I just need to sit here and be cool. And then, you know, we're going to be going home soon or whatever. He wasn't afraid because his little ears were all perked up or whatever. It wasn't like his ears were laid back. He wasn't, you know, breathing really rapidly or whatever. Like, he was stressed. He was just like, okay, we're just going to be cool right here until it's time to go home. So he was just, like I said, he was very well behaved.
Oh, he's having a snack right now.
Yeah, I'm not giving you any more of those. You're going to have to eat some of the green ones. We talked about that the other day.
He just put his little paws up on his food bin and then got in there and grabbed himself a snack.
He's on television and he knows it.
Oh, yes. So have you ever worked up your specialty promo piece that you were talking about maybe doing, like, here's Arno. This is why he has this name. He's a Polish rabbit. He's a broken chocolate.
I have not, but I have I've probably had 3 or 4 different meetings at this point where my meeting is over and then the person is like, can I ask you a personal question? And that might be off-putting, but at this point I know exactly what they're getting ready to ask me. They're going to ask me about Arno. What kind of rabbit is that? What is he doing? What's the deal with that silver thing back there? I mean, so it's just general questions that people have. So again, I mean, this is part of him being, you know, Mr. Therapy Ambassador Rabbit. So I explain what all the stuff is for, who he is, where he's from, you know, what the breeder is like, who the breeder is, you know, because the therapy rabbit, I kind of get some, like, you know, okay, you're the granola nut, whatever kind of people. I'm like, nope, it's a little bit different than that. So I just like, I mean, it's an opportunity to explain. It's an opportunity to educate people on the different types of rabbits that are out there. So yeah, I mean, I probably have anywhere from 5 to 12 meetings a day that he is in, and all of them are Zoom. So he gets a lot of TV time. And again, it's a lot of, for people that ask, it's an educational opportunity for them to learn about the different types of rabbits that are out there. What is a therapy rabbit and how does it work?
Yeah. Excellent. I feel like this whole topic of therapy rabbits is somewhat, oh, there's some confusion about it because, you know, people are used to the concept of, you know, therapy animals, right? Service dogs, therapy animals. Some people have therapy animals because they maybe have PTSD or some things like that. I don't look at it that way. I look at it that I think that everybody has got some stress in their life, and it's really, really nice to have a low maintenance pet who loves you and you can love on them and they can just hang out with you all the time and they're happy to hang out with you all the time. And, like, you know, rabbit, you don't have to take it outside to go poo. And
it's great because it's raining today and I don't have a dog. I have a rabbit, so I don't have to haul him outside to go to the bathroom in the rain 3 or 4 or 5 times a day.
With muddy paws, I might add.
Yeah, no, we're good. And he's Mr. Clean Stuff. The rabbits are excessively clean. So he's super clean.
Yeah. And cats have this tendency to just get into trouble.
I'm not a cat person. I'm not at all. We're definitely rabbit people now.
Yeah. So I like this concept of therapy rabbits, especially in the realm of so many people have been separated from society, you know, for the last 2 years here.
It's been a tough hole.
And then even aside from that, society unfortunately has become rather divisive, and this ability to have something to find common, loving, peaceful grounds on to be able to talk about and socialize about is very helpful as well. Okay. Well, that's all I've got. And this shall be the end of the second Therapy Rabbit podcast. I am still looking for people to help me build out the therapyrabbit.com website. I've got tons and tons of awesome content. I think we want to have some video versions of the podcast posted out there. And we'd also like to have a bunch of maybe educational videos. I had these ideas recently about maybe I should do a video series on how to litter box train a rabbit, because there's quite a bit of information that's out there, you know, YouTube videos, books, and things like that. And I found that they didn't go into enough depth about how to observe an individual unique rabbit in order to discern what it was that you needed to do in order to get that particular rabbit to be litter box trained. Like right now I've got 3 poo boxes in with Bright. That's Bright. That's him right there.
Super nice, but he's struggling with the poo box.
He is. He is a ball of energy. He'll take the little 2-foot cage if I've got him up here in my office. He will bounce around in that thing so much, he's gonna like take the cage and rip it off the table. Oh yeah. He's the only rabbit I've ever seen do full 360s. Full 360s. He will jump in the air and do a full 360 in the 2-foot cage. That's Bright. He's got all kinds of energy, and he needs 3 poo boxes to get himself poo box trained, but I'm winning.
Maybe we'll have to talk about that on the next podcast. We'll go in more in depth on the different poo box trainings.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to
educate
our therapy rabbit connoisseurs.
All right. Until next time.